Hello, bookers. Welcome to What the Book. This is where we discuss all things writing and indie author related. Your hosts are myself, international best-selling author Cintra Sullivan. I have the supremely talented horror author Kate Banning Callum with me. Hi, Kate.
Hey, how you doing, Cintra?
Good, thank you. And the phenomenally creative epic fantasy author David Atherton Cooper. Hi, David.
Hi, guys. Good to see you again.
Always a pleasure. Now, we're back this week. This is our sixth episode. Can you believe it, guys? Six. We've, like, hit past one hand already. I'm so enthralled with being able to share this with you two as well as with the listeners. I'm living the dream, boys. I'm living the dream.
We're going to have to get the big egg box now. We're past half a dozen.
That's right. Big egg box. I love it. Okay, so... All right. Well, this week it's what we have to discuss what's going on in the world and how it's affecting writers generally. I'm going to call it the Rona because I'm Aussie and I put up that post about it. So it's the Rona as far as I'm concerned. And how the Rona is playing on our minds, playing on the community, and
generally fucking with our heads.
Yeah, what it's doing to Absolutely. Our creative flow. Well, we did put the post up on our Twitter page at WTB or podcast. Please connect with us. And we did get some people posting, which I swear to God made my heart swell three sizes. I was so excited that people were talking to us. I want to, the guys and I want to sit here and talk to you back. So we're going to address some of the questions that were put up there. And see between us if we can help. Can we help? We can do it, can't we?
I think we will give it our best shot. I mean, we are all in this corona nonsense together. Every last one of us is dealing with this at the same time. It sucks for us all, so we can all help each other as we struggle.
Absolutely. So, okay, I'm going to... talk to John Paul McGowan. Now, he wrote that he's not been able to write, that he's tried other means of coping with painting and activities that don't require as much thought as writing because it's really hard, but he's surrounding himself with people who are supportive and that are checking on him. The writing community probably to me right now is more important than ever. We're all struggling through this, and the more we can reach out to each other and check, you know, it takes nothing to send a DM and go, hey, you okay? And even if they just reply with, I'm all right, and leave it at that, it's okay, because just those few words, just those few seconds that somebody cared enough to reach out can make all the difference. Trying to do things like painting. I can't paint, but oh well, no, I can't. Whatever. Changing your creativity from, say, if words aren't flowing, but you want to keep that creative flow happening, then doing something like painting or knitting or crochet. John, I'm not telling you that you should start crocheting, but hey, if you want to, that's all right. No judgment. But even things like getting out and walking outside, seeing, you know, the breeze go through leaves might create a flow, a pattern, a thought that you can come back and channel into some words. But don't pressure yourself, John Paul. It will happen naturally. And if you take a couple of weeks off writing, it's a couple of weeks. And the grand scale of life, the Rona won't last forever, and our words will. There you go.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I picked up a comment from Paul is Twisting. So at Paul_husbandjr. And he was saying he stopped. He's paused his work in progress. He's keeping his energy for other things right now. But I have a lot of sympathy with this guy because, unlike you guys, Paul is a plotter.
Oh,
he's still making notes. Yeah. I feel his pain. But he's saying he's managing to get notes and plans together, but full scenes are beyond him. And actually, interestingly, he said that he's making sure that he gets in a VSS or two every day. And that is definitely something I'm finding, even and this month's round of prompts have been really varied and really interesting. It's the first time I've seen a non-English prompt, which was cool and challenging, and the accent is amazing. But actually, so similar, Zintra, to what you were saying from the previous comment about there's places to get inspiration that are just out there and waiting for us, and they don't need a lot of social, direct face-to-face social contact. We can all take it easy a little, go for a walk, just let off a bit of steam, or maybe just walk around the house and look into each room as though it was the first time we'd walked in there. And sure, you can't do that all day, every day, but all those little things that just keep the juices flowing, I think are really going to help these days. And for me, like Paul, I find if I can't write a whole scene, I'll scribble some notes about the one coming up, or some random idea that came off of ESS that just helps. So I thought Paul is twisting. It was a great comment.
Awesome. Caleb?
All right. Well, I'm going to have to give the spotlight to my fellow horror crafter here, Ethan Edwards. He is at Ethan_Edwards26, who says, I've started writing a series of short horror stories with mostly realistic scenarios. To me, the real world is far scarier than any horror novel or film. You know what, man? And I looked at Ethan's profile. He's a cool dude. I had to give him the follow. It's follow worthy all the way. So anybody listening, y'all check out Ethan_Edwards26. Seems like a cool guy. And look, as a horror author myself, I pull a lot from realistic scenarios. We've talked about this in the past. For me, of course, what triggers the inspiration is usually a very small component of what people assume to be the larger thing. So I'm one of those people, I can look at an entire wall and then I can say, yep, the wall inspired me to write this story about a wall, but it could really be a blade of grass that was growing out between two bricks that got me thinking about how I could turn that wall into a story. And I love this concept that he's talking about here, that he's just pulling from what's around him and he's creating and he's rocking it. And that's really good. It's also good to see a response, you know, that is kind of a positive note. You know, I understand everybody is, we're all dealing with this. I'm certainly going through my own bouts of anxiety with everything that is. But I do like to see that light of positivity come through where somebody's saying, man, I'm getting out there and fucking getting it done. I'm getting some horror written. So good for Ethan. Thank you very much. You have earned the K-Ban and Kellum a follow. When the Schlock King of New Orleans follows you, you got to follow back, brother.
I love it. I love it. I wanted to just touch quickly back on the VSS that David was talking about. Isn't the prompts this month just phenomenal? I just, even having to use the word, let me go. And I did do it on a record, which was Stroopwafel. I loved it. It was such a challenge.
Pretty close.
It was really challenging. And the is it haiku? Is that how it's pronounced?
Uh-huh.
Oh god, I stuffed it up completely. But you know what? Doesn't matter whether I stuffed it up. Doesn't matter whether I got my syllables wrong, or I didn't make my nature reference. I gave it a try.
I'm eating some Stroop waffles right now, matter of fact.
Oh, God, they look good.
They're delicious.
If I wasn't sugar-free, I swear I could Stroop waffle for a long time. I could bake
them. You have to stand them on the top of your mug of tea so the caramel warms up in between them.
They are.
Okay, I'm no longer doing you now, David. Now go away. You can't do that to me. I don't eat sugar. You can't do that to me. Oh, God. All right. Next comment, Alex. At Alex_McCarty, M-I-C-A-T-I. Alex and I talk a bit. He refers to that he feels sometimes whether this is fiction or is it real with regards to writing, and whether he also feels that there's an urgency to get books out there, as if the planet's going to implode if he doesn't get the books out there. Look, pressure. Oh, God, pressure. It's everywhere at the moment. I'm feeling very similar to this because I've had an issue with the Aussie dollar dropping. I do believe I did post about it, allowing then, or, you know, restricting my usage of overseas editors, because I set my books in America, I like to use an American editor to make sure that I get the lingo, the terminology, the situations, et cetera, really, really correct and literal to the area that I'm writing about. However, when the Aussie dollar is sitting at 53, 54, 55 cents in the dollar, it makes editing very, very expensive and unfortunately having to put it aside. So, Alex, I totally get the pressure of having to try and get books out there or feeling like I should be getting books out there. I don't believe I'll make my goal this year, which I want in a heartbreaking. Anyway, not going to cry about it because the world won't end in a week or two. We may all end up being zombies, but that's right. We can live together very harmoniously. It's okay. The books, we'll get them out when we get them out. There's nothing we can do. Take a breath, release the pressure, and get the words out when you can get the words out, Alex. Okay, you guys.
David, you're up.
Well, I found the comments. So Jared Wayne Gifford, at Jared W. Gifford, said he feels it's his duty to give people an escape from the harsh realities out there. And that really struck a chord with me. Yeah, he said, if I can help someone smile or be excited about something, even just for a minute, I feel like I've done a good thing. And I thought, yes, whether it's on medium.com or through Twitter or however it goes, just being able to reach out and share some ideas. We'll talk more about this perhaps later on after the interview, but I actually think, and I'm picking up the theme from some of these comments, I think there is more of an urgency. There is more of a need for people to share ideas than there was even a week ago. I think this, you know, books are, particularly I think ebooks, going to become more popular. People need a way to get away from all this weird stuff that's happening all around them. And I really think the idea of, I get a kick out of someone reading my stuff and commenting on it and just saying it was good. Go back to what we were talking about last week. If I get a response from someone, that's great. It could even be a bad response. I don't mind. But we've reached someone, so I get a buzz out of that. But then hopefully they also get a bit distracted from all of this surreal weirdness that's going on around us. Take a moment, hopefully take a whole hour, because yeah, my stuff's worth reading and so is yours, to just step out of all of this and lose themselves in something for a while. And books have always been the best place to lose yourself in somebody else's thoughts. So I think that we could all feel good about sharing some of our stuff and having people react to it and respond to it. So Jared Wayne Gifford, you're on my follow list. And thanks for the comment.
Caleb?
All righty. So there's only one left, I believe, here. This person says that they are on hiatus. So I hope they hear this. And this is going to be for Alex, who is on hiatus, according to their Twitter handle. They are at A22523. That is their at name anyway. Alex on hiatus says, I haven't written as much as I could. I think my worries about the virus has taken up a lot of my time. As a result, I've ended up not spending as much time as I could writing. And it may also be why I haven't felt as much motivation to write lately. And here is the deal, Alex, on hiatus. There's no right or wrong headspace for this. There is only the headspace that fits best for you. And the byproduct of that headspace is either going to be you write more, you write less, you sing more, you sing less, you watch more TV, you watch less TV. Whatever it is, as long as you are not crippled by anxiety and concern and going into panic mode during it, that is the right headspace for you. It doesn't matter if you're churning out page after page after page while you're doing it or not. I mean, that's a great boon for us writers, absolutely. But that doesn't mean that that is the any kind of indication that you're handling things the right way or the wrong way. And so you have to just take it easy. Find the headspace that you're comfortable in. If that generates writing, let it be. But if not, don't try to force yourself into something else. If you're comfortable, you're comfortable. And here's the thing, guys, this urgency to write is probably a false positive of indication for creativity. It doesn't necessarily mean it's kind of like if you eat a whole bunch of Adderall, you could probably jam out, you know, thousands of words in a night, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be good, and it doesn't mean that they're going to be authentic to your writing voice. So don't force it, in other words. Just find your comfortable headspace, wherever that may be. There's plenty of books out there. We're not going to run out, and the reading world will be still eager to drown in your knowledge after all of this kind of sorts itself out of it.
Oh, absolutely. I've got 14 books that they can read anytime they want.
There you go.
There is actually
get Centra's entire library.
There you go. There's one more comment. If I opened up one of the things, there's another comment from Owen G. Richards at Owen G. Richards LD.
What's that LD in there for?
I don't know what that LD stands for, but okay. Owen and I've been to read sometimes for him. He's awesome. We were talking when I made the comment about not it's hard to hear the words when they're coming to you when there's so much noise in the world, other noise in the world. So, you know, you're watching the news and there's just this bombardment of coronavirus and status and updates and closures, and it's just you're bombarded with it. You can't really even look outside and see there's nobody walking around. There's nobody doing anything. And you're instantly reminded that you've got to stay where you are, you know. That he said that it's a difficult to find peace amongst the chaos. But unless you go looking for it, you have to sort of find it within. And once you find what you need, and above all else, it has to be what you need. And once you find that your needs are satisfied, you can attend to your wants. And in times of deprivation, you can let go of the wants and focus on the needs. So perhaps like you were saying that, you know, the need to get a book finished, although the want to get a book finished isn't as relevant to maybe just needing to take a breath, needing to digest what you've got going, needing to just put down a few words, even if it is just a VSS, nothing just about a VSS because those little suckers are hard sometimes. But, you know, it doesn't have to be a mammoth event every single time. Every day does not have to reach 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 words. You don't have to do that every day. There's so much pressure in the world right now that even if it's just 5 words or 10 words, it's okay. You know, it's about needs versus wants. I thought that was really relevant too.
Yeah, all of this stuff gets us back to basics in a pretty harsh way.
Yeah.
And that is also a song.
Back to basics?
No, you can't always get what you want. That one.
Oh, Caleb's singing for us, guys. This is lovely.
Yeah, so lovely.
We should have a karaoke podcast. Can we do that?
You never know what you're gonna get when you invite the king of schlock on your show, right? I didn't ascend to the throne by fucking around here, folks. I'm serious about this.
The king of slots. Is this an official title?
You know what? I think it's as official as the term schlock is, sure.
Because I got Sean's thoughts gave me an official title this morning, the Thunder from Down Under. And I'm like, oh.
The Thunder from Down Under.
The Thunder from Down Under. And I'm just like, I'm sure there was a strip group once called the Thunder from Down Under. Ah, it's not me. It's really not me. But okay.
Wasn't that a Chippendale spin-off? That's a different kind of thing.
It was a stripper group called the Thunder from Down Under, and these clothes are staying on. Sorry, bookers. I did a podcast for a reason, not a YouTube channel. That's because my voice is far better than anything else. All right, so we're going to take a break now and introduce John Thomas. He is our guest author that Caleb and I interviewed this morning. He is a horror author, and I found him really fascinating to listen to. So I hope the bookers and our listeners will find John Thomas as interesting as Caleb and I did. And we will be back shortly. So here's John Thomas. Hello, bookers. Welcome to What the Book Author Interview Time. I love this time. It gives us a chance to get to meet our writing community members, get to see how they do things differently and yet all end up at the same place. Makes me feel a little bit more normal within my abnormal writing abilities. Today, of course, I have my amazing co-host, horror author Kay Benning-Callum. Hi, Caleb.
Hey, hey, how you doing, Ascentra?
Oh, it's early, but you know, I love it. I love it. How's things on your side of the world?
Oh, going crazy like everywhere else.
It's always a way, isn't it? Now, we also are very blessed today to have another horror author amongst us, and John Thomas. Hi, John.
Hello, how's it going?
Fantastic. I must admit that I do not write horror, although I have, I mean, it intrigues me. So I'm interested to see you two chat this off today. Let's start with my first question, and that is, what made you start writing, John, or what initiated your love of the written word?
Well, I've always tried to write stories, you know, ever since like third or fourth grade. I'd you know, just write down short little stories on like notebook paper, but never really took it serious until like a year ago. You know, I decided at that time to get sober and started writing as kind of a way to keep my mind busy. And it just kind of went from there. You know, I'd show my wife some of the stories I'd write, and she was like, oh, that's pretty good, you should put that somewhere. So then I started throwing them on Reddit and, you know, got a decent response.
Fantastic. That's an awesome way to keep your mind clear, actually, to write it down. A lot of people use journals for the same process, but putting it into stories is even better. How many books do you have at the moment?
Right now I have one self-published through Amazon. It's called The Observer. And I'm actually working on the sequel now, but I've been kind of writing a lot more short stories lately than actually working on the novel.
Fantastic.
I always love how our, you know, history as writers, especially within the horror community, but really in writing in general, they always kind of parallel. You know, I kind of did the same thing when I was probably around the second, third grade. I started writing little scary stories that I liked, and you know, people said, hey, those are pretty good, so I just kept with it. My question for you, and this is one that I get a lot also, is what is it about the horror genre that drew you towards it? Why horror?
I think it's probably because I've always been pretty big into horror. You know, horror movies were my staple. The Insidious movies are some of my favorite horror movies out there. I love ghost stories and, you know, slasher flicks, zombie movies, stuff like that. So it was kind of just a natural, you know, way for me to write was to write scary stuff.
Write what you love. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's funny that you both say around the second grade, third grade, because my son, he's 7, my youngest one. And he actually came to me. It's on topic, but it's off topic. Anyway, he came to me the other day and said, Mum, I want to write a book with you. And I'm like, oh, okay, what would you like to write? And he goes, it's called The Ghost of Gumbelina, Tooth or Dare. It's a ghost dentist. And I'm like, oh okay.
So like, that already sounds better than some of the stuff out there. So, I mean, he's already got a leg up on some of the competition.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just flashing forward to you two now, you see. Okay, so, John, who are, we all have authors that we not necessarily follow or mimic because that's a bad thing, but authors that we look up to, that we admire their work. There could be secret mentors of ours that they don't even know. Who are your favorite horror authors or biggest influences of your words?
See, it takes a lot for me to actually sit down and read a book. You know, I have 2 kids, one's a newborn, so for me to actually get time to read is pretty rare. But I've actually taken up audiobooks and podcasts, and you know, creepypastas and stuff like that are a pretty big influence. As far as authors go, I would say, you know, Stephen King naturally is a horror author. I recently listened to the audiobook for Nosferatu by Joe Hill, which was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend that. And then, you know, Caleb, I don't want to sound like a fanboy, but you've actually influenced my work a lot. I heard a few of your short stories over on the Creepy Podcast. You know, the Secret Bar. That one was great. I don't know if you've looked at my Twitter profile picture, but it's actually Jeff the Killer.
Oh, geez. Wow, that is really incredible. That's so cool. Look at us getting to know each other all crazy here on the podcast. That is really awesome. Thank you.
Oh, I'm just going to sit back and let you two man bond. It's all good.
That is extremely flattering. Thank you so much. That means so much to me to hear. See, this goes really well with what we were talking about last week, Center, about the positive reviews and whatnot, just how they put a smile on your face.
Absolutely. Yeah. There is nothing like a little validation to keep us going. It can be such a small amount, but it just spurs you on to write that extra word or write that extra page or just not give up on that particular day. And at the moment, I mean, this is part of our podcast today that we'll be doing in the current situation that the world's in, finding the motivation to keep going is a struggle for a lot of people. And, you know, our minds are so full of every other stressful thing that's going on worldwide. It's hard to sit down and actually focus on, you know, a passion that we all have. How do you find it, John? Are you suffering from writer's block or writer's frustration, or are your words flowing fine at the moment?
I am currently suffering from horrible writer's block. It's you know, last week I was just pumping out story after story after story, and then it seems like on, you know, from like Saturday on, I've just been blank, you know. I try to write every day because I actually heard on Dax Shepard's podcast a while back, he gave some great advice that I kind of live by. He said, you know, give yourself permission to write something bad. Just as long as you write something, you've accomplished your goal for the day. So, you know, I kind of live by that. I just write, you know, if I don't like it, I don't have to put it out. But as long as I put something down, then I'm happy.
You know what? If it's good enough for Kristen Bell, it's good enough for me. So I would live by the words Axe as well. He's proven entity.
Yeah.
I completely agree. There's times that I've sat down and written, I don't have a fucking word to write down right now, but I'm still writing something and I'll delete this tomorrow, but it's still words. It's still sitting at a computer. It's still writing something down. Is there things that you know work a little better, or just because this is what we're discussing on the podcast? So,
right.
You know, for me, if I'm, I don't suffer from writer's block per se, but writer's exhaustion sometimes I can suffer from.
Oh, yeah.
Music is generally what will key me along if I get a certain playlist or a certain song that just relates to what I'm writing. That will get me through where I need to get to. Do you use anything like that?
You know, I'll do the same. I'll listen to music. Sometimes I'll just kind of go for a walk around my neighborhood and, you know, just let my mind trail off and try to think of, you know, plot points or characters or something. But, you know, usually if I, you know, just start writing something and it sucks, the next day I'll go back and I'll be like, okay, so I can fix it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Something down is better than nothing down. I always believe that.
Right.
I think Caleb lives by the same rule. So where do you find your inspiration for characters from, John?
I take a lot of the inspiration for my characters from either people I know, people I've just randomly seen somewhere, you know, like, oh, that guy has a pretty cool tattoo. Let me make a character based on that. You know, the main character of my novella, The Observer, You know, I was going through a rough time, and Dax Shepard seemed to be helping me out. So I kind of based his mentality and his looks on Dax Shepard. You know, it varies for me, you know, depending on where I'm at, what I'm thinking about, you know, stuff like that.
I truly admire that you are such a supporter of the Dax Shepard way of life there. I'm a Dax fan around here.
Do you let Dax know that?
You know, I've tweeted him a couple times and he has not responded.
Well, Dax, if you're out there, man, listen up. This is your buddy K Banning Kellum here telling you, man, you need to look at my pal John. He's got some good stuff going on here and he owes it all to you.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're gonna have to tag him in it and see whether we can get something cooking. That'd be great. Do you, obviously you write horror, so you have no problem with killing people off or characters off. Do you because I don't know, whenever I kill somebody off, I always feel a little like remorseful. Do you feel that with the horror genre? Either of you, actually, because you both write this genre.
You know, it's funny. I tend not to kill characters off unless they're horrible people. You know, the main character, if they're a nice person, I'll let them live. There have been a couple instances, you know, I wrote a short story about a guy who's got a terrible fear of tornadoes, and it basically ends with him smashing his truck into the end of into the rear end of another truck, and that's just how the story ends, because I thought it would be funny, but you know, it didn't get a great response.
With me, it's like, you're going to feel something when my characters die. I mean, they're not going to die completely in vain ever. So if it's a character that everybody loves, you're going to feel bad when that character's gone, but it's not going to be in vain. If it's a character that everybody hates, you're going to feel good that justice has been served. There's going to be redemption and there's going to be punishment, but you're always going to feel something when they go. Nobody's going to go to waste, whether they survive till the end or whether they get whacked halfway through it. And I am one of those horror writers that is not averse to happy endings. I've written quite a few happy endings into my horror stories, but it's all about what the plot calls for. Sometimes they just gotta die to tell the story, but they will not be wasted.
And never be worried about readers reacting badly. What I discussed this last week, I do believe, is that... you know, if you kill off one of you, I mean, I've killed off a main character, and I have killed them off, and I had very mixed responses from readers. I mean, they understood why, but at the same time, they were like, but damn it, you can't kill her. I go, oh, I can kill her because, you know, what I do.
I've got the out here. I said, you're the one behind the keys, basically. You're going to decide whether they live or die, you know.
Well, I don't, but they do, you know, and so you get that mixed response. But as I said in a previous podcast, is that any response is good response. If they don't like it, great. Tell me you don't like it. If they do like it, good. Tell me you like it. You know, just tell me something. Tell me something. That's all we want as writers, I think. Do you agree, guys?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So tell me, John, are you a plotter or a pantser?
Oh, I'm, you know, I try to plot and then I start writing and everything just kind of derails. So I guess I'd say I'm a pantser.
Just going with the flow, see what happens?
Yeah. I put out a short story last week about a guy whose cat is kind of going crazy. And originally I was going to have the cat be some sort of demonic entity, and then I just kind of turned it around and there was no cat.
Spoiler alert. No cat at all. Oh.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
Love some insider trading, don't we, Caleb?
Oh, yes. So quick question I wanted to kind of tack on here. You said that you write on Reddit. And just quickly, what is your opinion? Have you been affected at all, or do you have an opinion on the Reddit writers blackout that was kind of making all the hashtag news there a few weeks ago?
Oh yeah, the no sleep blackout. You know, I have personally never had a story stolen off of Reddit. I guess I'm one of the lucky ones because I know a ton of people who have. But, you know, every time somebody wanted to narrate my story or post it on their website or whatever, they'd always message me for permission. And, you know, I'm 100% in support of what they were doing. Because, you know, I think writers should be acknowledged for their work. You know, they should be credited. They should get what they deserve.
Absolutely, they should. I've been lucky as well. I've always had pretty good relationships with narrators, and I've never had really anything just yoinked from me, you know. But I know what happens. I've seen it happen, and yeah, it absolutely sucks. And I'm glad that people are finally saying, like, hey, look, you know, this is a two-way street, all right? And, you know, everybody's going to have to drive in their lane.
Right.
Yeah, well, I've had my books on so many pirate sites. It's just insane. I lose thousands of dollars every year to pirate sites. So I'm not a big fan of pirates. I'm not a big fan of people stealing my work and making money off it where, you know, I'm not making a cent off their sales. So it's a hard thing to battle. You take it down from one site and it'll pop up on five other sites. And, you know, I've got 14 books. It's really hard to track it all. And you end up going, fuck, if Sony and Pixar and all of that can't stop pirating, what the hell is little Cintra Sullivan in Australia going to do? Not a lot.
Cintra can do it all, man. Don't say so.
According to my 7-year-old, Kim. Okay, so last question, John. Brand new author comes to you and says, what one piece of advice would you give me to help my journey smoother? What would you give them?
I would probably say query your manuscript. Don't go with self-publishing right off the bat.
Okay. And your reason?
You know, I haven't had too much luck selling my story through Kindle Direct. I did a free book promo a couple weeks ago, and you know, I had I think 140 downloads. But before that, you know, I released it in September. I think I've sold 14 copies since September, up until I did that free book promo. So you know, as far as getting your work out there and everything, I think querying to publishers is probably a better route to go.
Okay. It takes a lot. I will not deny that. I've been professionally writing now 5.5 years, and just about all of mine are self-published, and it is one of the hardest things to do. The dedication to self-promote every single day in every possible way is just insane, but it does pay off. But you have to commit. If you're going to do self-publishing, you really have to commit the time, and it's not just, you know, a couple of months, it's years.
It's a marathon. It's a marathon. It's not a race. That's the big thing to keep in
mind. Absolutely. It's a really great way. And I mean, you know, a lot of it self-published is a great way to do it. And so is mainstream. Don't do both. Either way you do it, it's awesome. But none of it's easy. We just have to keep slogging off at it, I think. Okay, well, I'm going to have to bring this podcast to an end. Caleb, anything last to say?
John, tell the people out there listening, where can they find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at jthomas819. I'm on Facebook, just look for John Thomas, and then my website, johnthomaswriter.wixsite.com/author.
Outstanding. Y'all check him out, folks, especially Dax Shepard.
Yeah, especially Dax Shepard. Come on, Dax, you can do it. Thank you, Caleb, for joining us again for my amazing co-host.
Thank you.
I hope you have a good shift at work. Thank you, John, for joining us on What the Book. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor.
And listeners, of course, find us on Twitter, What the Book Podcast. And of course, Kay Benning Kellum and myself, Cintra Sullivan. Hunt us down, talk to us, give us feedback, find out what we're doing, and tell us what you want us to do. As long as, oh no, look, I'll do anything. It's all good. Let's go with it. All right. See you later, bookers. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome back, bookies. Wasn't that a fantastic interview? I loved talking to John Thomas this morning. It was very early for me, so sorry if I sounded tired. But, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock a.m. A.m., the things I do for What the Book podcast, getting up, getting coffee into me so that I can actually function to bring these interviews to you.
And we love you for it.
We've got... I don't know. We've got Kay, Ben, and Callum back. Hello.
Hey, hey.
Caleb. And, of course, our fantasy author, David Atherton and Cooper, is here too.
Nice to be here.
Always. Good job. Now, we were talking about, well, we were addressing some of our Twitterers as to their comments on our page, which thank you so much for taking the time to post on our page. You have no idea how that makes me feel. I can't speak for the guys, but for me personally, seeing every word that somebody would take the time to communicate with the podcast, with me, with the boys, is just phenomenal. I love every single word, and let's keep it going, please. So, boys, we're going to take this a little bit more personal, are we?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
All right, who's going first? I'm not.
Well, why don't I jump in? Because what I've been finding, particularly kind of the last maybe week, so I'm still trying to do some writing, get some stuff down on the page, but I'm finding what I'm writing is more emotional. So I mean, I write fantasy, so it's all kind of a little bit at one remove. I can do really, you know, powerful emotional scenes, but they're a little fewer and further between. It more focuses on the world building and the fantastic elements. But just recently, I feel when I'm writing, it's more emotional stuff. I'm more involved in it, which is a change from even a week ago, where I would still just sort of jump in and glide through stuff. I'm definitely just feeling that I'm, because I'm feeling kind of weirded out and it's all a bit strange and surreal out there, that's coming through in the writing. There's definitely more emotion in what I'm writing down. It feels more personal. I don't know if you guys have had anything like that.
Caleb? Well, I know right now I'm trying to kind of bury myself in a few projects just to kind of just try and stave off the anxiety that's coming with this. I mean, it's like every time I clear my throat nowadays, it's like, oh my God, is this the first of, you know, is this how it starts? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've talked about, I know offline, we talked a little bit about, you know, the effects and impacts that our individual little corners of the world here have seen, but, you know, it's absolutely surreal and unreal and terrifyingly too real, you know, when you realize that, you know, I mean, your streets are deserted and people are getting sicker every day. And I mean, it's one of those things where you refresh your news feed and the news just keeps getting worse. So I think to be aware without becoming panicked is very important. So to do that, I've kind of buried myself in a lot of articles right now. There's a project that I am currently working on with a group that I write editorials for. We're calling it the Horror Fan Survival Guide. We haven't rolled it out just quite yet, but the idea is going to be some very simple things that you can do while you're quarantined or stuck in your house. And we're going to give the community an opportunity to kind of just build upon that. So instead of saying, here's your fucking survival guide, you know, we're going to more or less say, help us write it. And in the meantime, you're helping everybody else in the community and everybody will kind of get to express their ideas. So that's one thing that I'm really involved in. And of course, with writing, I mean, I'm torn because part of me is like, I sure would love more time to write. But on the other hand, if I suddenly get a lot more time to write, like 40 more hours a week worth of time, that probably means I've been fucking furloughed, which is not good. So you talk about a duality of emotions right there. I am on both ends of that pole right now. But I'm staying positive by staying busy. And of course, doing this podcast with you guys and everything else is all the kind of things that are just kind of keeping me pointed towards the positive end of things.
Absolutely. This podcast is certainly keeping my focus relevant in the word world, but allowing me to express it not written because we're talking. So it's an interesting develop. I love it. I love it. I won't deny it. I do. I love it. Now, I have not written. Oh God, my name is Cintra Sullivan. I have not written in over 48 hours. Oh God.
But you're among friends. Mistakes.
I've got withdrawals. I'm dealing with it with vodka. Now, see, my problem is, that the world as it stands at the moment with the Rona, as I said in the first half of this, that it's affected the Aussie dollar. Now, I have two work in progress, completely finished, start to finish, done, ready to go. As far as first draft goes, cannot afford my editor. So they're stalled. Can't do anything with them. So it's sort of created this slapped me in the face with a cold tuna, can't move, don't know what to do. I wrote the title of the next book because the character's sitting there right next to me. He is ready to go. He is number 4 in my dragon series. He is the most sexiest tattooed dragon sex bomb of a man. And I can't get my head into the game, which he's finding very frustrating because he's looking at me like we're ready to go and I'm looking at him like, but I still have these other two books. My normal routine is to write it, you edit it, you get it out, you start again.
Absolutely.
I can't do that at the moment. So it's sort of making me adjust. Oh, I guess we're all learning this, isn't it? It's mm-hmm. adapting to a new cycle, adapting to what may be a new normal. I don't know. We don't know when this is going to stop. You know, okay, hopefully 2, 3, 4 weeks, we should see hopefully a little bit of normality come back. But who's to say what that new normality will be? Mm-hmm. I don't know. None of us know. And I think this is what is the most scariest part for everybody, is that this is uncharted territory for every single one of us.
And we're all adaptable people, but we have to keep adapting because it keeps changing.
Right.
Absolutely.
I call it.
And none of us know what's going to happen.
Well, I think one thing that I've kind of used kind of makes sense of this, especially when talking about it, is like we as a society, you know, we've all gotten very accustomed to having they in our lives. And by they, I mean that invisible workforce that none of us really ever see, but we know they're out there. When your power goes out, what do you say? Oh, they're working on it. You know, when your refrigerator, you know, when are they coming to fix this? You know, your cable goes out. Okay, are they working? There's no they right now. They are in there with us. There's no, everybody's a customer. Mm-hmm. Everybody's a customer now. There is no hotline to call. We're all customers. And it's really what makes this such a high impact moment in history, what makes this so serious. And when I see these fuckers on TV going to spring break and shit, it burns my goddamn ass because this shit is so serious that even I have to, when I fucking say slow the fuck down, y'all best believe it's time to slow the fuck down. Cause I am known for making bad and dumb decisions. So when I'm the one making sense in the room, you can take that shit to the bank. And
yeah.
And this is the thing. I mean, the ship is in the ocean right now. By the ship, I mean us. You know, and here's the thing. The Coast Guard, hey, they were on the ship too. You know, the guy calling, the guy yelling SOS into the radio is hearing his own voice coming out the other radio from the guy 5 feet away from him, who is also in the water. And that is what is, that's what makes this so different. Because, look, as a New Orleanian, look, I've gone through Hurricane Katrina. And fucking when we were the damn West Nile virus, when we were the freaking ground zero for that and all this other shit. I had the swine flu and that was a thing a while ago. I caught that for like a week.
Yeah.
We've been through them, but this is totally fucking different. This is a whole new damn ball game. And
this does feel worse. It feels more intense. I've got a very good friend who lives out country and every day they're like, what do you mean you're doing this? What do you mean you're getting on the train? Stop it. And they're right. So yeah, I make dumb decisions like everyone else, but you look around and think, with the implications of everything that's going to go on, I still go back to that idea that right now people need other people's words and thoughts even more than they ever did. I've not got stuff that's ready to publish fully, but I've got a whole bunch of ideas. Do you guys have any platforms you use just to get things out, even if they're just short articles or little short stories, more than just VSS on Twitter?
Caleb?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I've kind of got one for every occasion, actually. So I would tell you this. You know, Twitter, you're already on, so you kind of get the idea, Twitter. Article writing and editorials, I would say medium.com is a great source. Super easy to use, and you can monetize your work, folks. Now, you're not going to get rich on it unless you are one hell of a goddamn article writer, but it is a great place to do it. Also, HubPages is a fantastic source to write articles. HubPages, if your article passes their sniff test, they will assign it to different websites automatically that will carry it for you, such as if it's like an industry related, you know, article, it might go to like Tough Nickel. If it's a political or you know, kind of cultural societal article, it might go to Soapboxy. I've got big ass articles on both Tough Nickel and on Soapboxy. So that's a really great place.
I heard Tough Nipple. Tough Nickel? Was it Nickel?
Tough Nickel, yes.
Thank God for that. What sort of site is that one?
I gather it depends how many kids you've had, but, you know, let's move on.
Oh, God.
See, okay. Inappropriate humor is another really good one. When the world is going to toast around you, there is always time for inappropriate humor.
And I'm normally at the center of it. Now, if I was putting things out, my advice to you, David, would be website. Get yourself a website. You can then have complete control of drumming up interest in your book, putting up snippets, putting up characters. You can get characters drawn, little bios about them, interactions, small dialogues between characters, and put them up there. The other way is in conjunction, I would do a double binger. This is what I do. I have my website, and I also do the newsletter. So new bits that are coming out, interesting, you know, maybe there's a seasonal thing happening. Maybe it's an Easter thing, a Valentine's thing, a Halloween or whatever. And, you know, you might do a little 200-word, 400-word snippet and put it out in a newsletter. That kind of stuff works really well, drumming up business too, or interest in your books. That would be my advice with that specifically.
Yep, and one piece of advice I'll give you is, you know, if you're going to build an online portfolio of your work, that's awesome. I have one. I think most of us do. Just make peace with the fact, you know, and Cinder and I were talking about this earlier when we were on with John. You know, people will sometimes, you know, yoink your shit when you put it out there. So don't put your fucking prize goddamn, you know, short on there, because
little snippets. So if they nick it,
give them a taste. Don't give them the whole thing. All right. Don't show them the whole John Thomas. All right. Just show them a little bit, you know, just the tip.
I can do that.
Don't give them the full John.
Outtakes, rough drafts, ideas that didn't quite make it in. Yeah. We can do that. Okay. Yeah, that sounds cool.
Found a way to work that in, you see.
So while Zintra's hatching an egg, maybe
you've lost me now. My goodness. What were we talking about?
We was talking about where to put your shit on the internet. Now, apparently, I guess Pornhub is also an option now. And I'm going to post my next story on Pornhub. That's what I'm going to fucking do. It's going to get a million hits.
Well, from today's Twitter, yes.
It's going to be a video of me reading into it.
Do not Google this on works time.
Oh, God, please let me subscribe to that first. Oh, Lord. Put little snippets out. Give them, you know, the little kitty version or the kitty size of your milk. Don't give them the whole cow, because I lose thousands of dollars every year to pirates or book pirates. And unfortunately, the problem with book pirates is they're virtually impossible to stop. And the you know, the readers, it's not the reader's fault. The sites look so authentic. It looks real. It looks right. It looks logical. And that money's not coming to me. So
let me tell you about this scumbag that you may have seen come across your own Twitter feeds there. He was going by, I don't even know if this was his real name, but his author name, his pseudonym, pen name, whatever, was Rain Porter. And he kind of made the shitbag news because he went onto Reddit and essentially just copied and pasted hundreds of fucking, like, no sleep stories and shit like that, and just started rolling out books with his name on the cover saying, "Hey, come check out my short stories, motherfuckers." And I mean, he he was goddamn, like, balls out with that shit. He didn't care. He wasn't trying to hide it. They had to pretty much go through Amazon to get the shit ripped down because he wasn't going to fucking take it down himself. And I looked at his page. I remember I looked at his Amazon page before he got finally banned. I mean, the dude went over the course of like 2 weeks from having no books, and he had like 9 or 10 fucking books all of a sudden just poof within a week. And it was just all shit that he just copied and pasted right off the internet. And he didn't care. I mean, I got to imagine, even if he got the shit pulled down, I don't know if Amazon took the money back. I highly doubt it. So, I mean, hell, he still got probably somewhat of a decent payday by stealing from other people. So, yeah, protect your work. Do whatever you can do. Make sure if you're going to put your stuff online anywhere, remember every site kind of carries its own different kind of rules on shit like that. So, like, Reddit, I know anything you post on there, you still retain, you know, the intellectual property ownership of it, but they also, by hosting it, and it's somewhere within their, you know, terms of service, they have a right to use it as well for anything that they want, such as putting it up on the front page of Reddit, however. So they can also kind of do as they please with it. So make sure you see what kind of licensing that you're going to get. Most free websites are going to fucking give you, like, CC BY-SA, that share alike bullshit license, where it's pretty much like, other people can yoink your shit, and all they have to do is pretty much give you some attributions, and that's it. They ain't got to give you no money. They ain't got to give you no monetary attribution. They can still rip you off. So be careful where you put your shit.
I agree. I do. I completely 100% agree. But also understand for the fact that all my books are on Amazon. That's it. I am strictly Amazon girl, and yet my book still ends up on pirate sites. So, you know, nothing's safe. So, you know, you have to be vigilant, and it's a pain in the ass, and I hate it, and it makes you feel all dirty and violated. And we could go back to the Pornhub subscription now. But anyway, something
dirty and violated.
Dirty and violated.
Just click the link.
That's how I like to roll on most Sunday afternoons.
That's right.
The vodka is kicking in rather nicely, listeners. something that so we want our readers, we want our listeners, our bookers, to the ones that are finding it hard at the moment, to get some creative juice flowing. I want to set some challenges. I would hazard that if you're caught up in your house at the moment and the walls are all looking the same, how about you? Like, because you, David said earlier to walk into your rooms and look at it as if it's brand new. Why don't you walk into your room backwards? Why don't you crawl into your room? Why don't you lie on the floor and look up? See it from a different angle. Look at the world from a different angle. Perhaps it'll give a perspective that you hadn't seen before. It might show you that there's some cobwebs that you need to get some shit done about. But, you know, it's still something that, you know, maybe just tilting the axis on your life. The world's tilting, so maybe we tilt too, and might just balance it out in your head. Is it worth a go?
I think so.
Sounds like a fantastic idea.
It's all about finding that headspace.
Yeah. Now, the other thing I thought is that you're struggling with your own book. Put it aside. Let's write something like a love letter. Write yourself a love letter. So my challenge to the bookers from me independently is to write yourself a love letter. Remind yourself that what you do good, what you write well, what really makes you admire yourself. There's going to be one thing. We all have bad images of ourselves. I get it. We can look in the mirror and go, oh, God, this is that, whatever. But I can still look at myself and go, I can write a dialogue really, really well, and I can connect people with their characters really, really well. So I want people to write to themselves and remind themselves why they're valued, they're valuable, they're lovable, and they're worthy of being a writer in this world. That's my challenge.
Nice one.
And you might, do you want to set a challenge?
I got one. Would you like, you got one, David?
I have, but you go ahead.
Okay, well, I, as the king of schlock, I don't give challenges, I give decrees. So here is the decree. This is part of a project that I'm working on for that, you know, the survival guide, but it can kind of work for anybody. And here's the deal. My decree, my challenge is show me how you're the smart character in the fucking movie or the book. We all sit there and watch movies and we all see the dumb characters, the ones that do the dumb shit, the ones that wander into the damn haunted house, the ones that wander into the fucking Leatherface's chainsaw, the ones that practically flay themselves onto Freddy's claws for him because they're just stupid. Now is our opportunity through this Corona epidemic or pandemic to be the smart characters. And I want to hear about how you guys are being the smart characters. So don't be those dipshits that we all saw going down to Florida spring break, sitting there going, I'm going to get my party on because I just turned 21. Don't be that fucking asshole. Show us how you're that one character that everybody goddamn loves in the movie because they're the smart character. Show us what you're doing to be that character that we all want you to make it to the end. You're that character that if you do drop, everybody's like, God damn, that was the one we love. Be that character. Don't be the fucking dumbass character. That is your decree from King Schlock himself. Go forth and make my kingdom proud.
Love it. David?
That is so cool. My challenge is kind of the reverse. I'm going to go. So I write fantasy. Fantasy is the tropiest thing you've ever come across. I'm sure there are other genres that have their tropes. Calm down. However, fantasy is tropesville. So I really want everyone to give me the tropiest possible Dark Lord leather clad, holding a glowing mace with flaming red eyes character they can possibly come up with. Because when we're writing fantasy, you desperately try and avoid all the cliches and all the tropes, you're trying to come up with something that's a fresh new take on exactly the orphan boy grows up, discovers magic powers, and the guy with the big beard who isn't a kiddie fiddler is actually a wizard of a different kind and goes on a quest and destroys a ring, blah, blah, blah. So we all try and avoid these tropes. I just want to write and hear the tropiest possible character anyone could come up with.
Oh, this is awesome. All right. So book is the challenge or challenges as we see and should you accept. Please accept. Come on, get involved. Caleb is be the smartest character. Right, the smartest character in the horror story. How will they survive? Me, write a love letter to yourself. Remind yourself that you're important too. And David, the tropiest fantasy character you can possibly imagine. Let's make all of the cliches happen. Well, yeah. This has been such a exciting episode. I've really enjoyed this chat today.
And I think we will share some of these challenges on the next show or the show after. I definitely would look forward to doing some of that.
Absolutely.
Give us your best shot. You know, make sure you add the podcast Twitter there and make sure you add all of us while you're at it. I'm sure we're about to go around the room here with our Twitter names. Back to you, Central.
Go ahead, Caleb. Where can we find you?
Oh, where can I be found? In your hearts, of course. Now, I am Kay.
And on Pornhub.
Of course. Well, sure. Coming soon. Now, Kay Banning Kellum on Twitter. You can find me at BanningK1979. That is BANNING1979 on Twitter. And also, you know, K. Banning Kellum, author of horror over on Facebook. Come give him a page, a little like over there too.
Nice. David, where can the bookers find you?
Well, for now, you'll find me on the Twitter. I'm at Kung Fu Ponder. But following your advice, coming soon, there will be a WordPress or a website, and I'll let you guys know when that's up.
Outstanding.
Awesome. You can find me on Twitter, Cindra Sullivan. You can find me on the Gram, Cindra Sullivan Author. You can find me on Facebook. Yeah, guess what? Cindra Sullivan Author. I'm an uncomplicated chick. It's one name. Just use it wherever you find me. Just find us. And of course, on Twitter, What the Book Podcast, Hunters Down. We just hit 100 followers, and I think we deserve cake, or at least a stroop waffle. And like our page, get involved. Our challenges have been set. I do hope that our bookers take up our challenge, either one or all three. Let's go. You got nothing but time in your hands. Bookers, let's occupy your hands. Oh, that just could have gone so wrong then.
Hey, come on that Pornhub thing. You're going to be occupying your hands over there.
Switch off John the Josh. Webcam.
Don't make me snort on the book podcast.
That's David's fault with his John Thomas shit.
Thank you, Caleb. Thank you, David.
It's been a pleasure.
We will see you all next week, bookers. See you later.
Good night.